All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here live at Social Cantina. We're right next to First Horizon Park. The food is fantastic. Come by and see us. Dr. Crane is inhaling a burrito. I had the tuna earlier. Now the chip. We're just going to eat all day. This is so good. Every time we come here, we love coming here. Brando, we're efforting Mike Golic Jr. He's supposed to be on at 12:15. He's 4 minutes late. That means when he comes on, we're going to make him run laps.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon.
I think it'd be great.
Do it with me.
Yeah. Okay. The Titans are wrapping up day. This is the first day. Trent, they reported yesterday. Today's the first day on the field for the team. So we'll once they're done, we can't air the press conferences
live.
So once they're done with everything with Cam and Simmons and Robert Saleh, then we will get to that a little bit later on as well. So we'll talk about all that, and then we'll see what they're doing day one of. You know, what do you accomplish day one of camp, right?
Nothing. You just make sure, like you said earlier, guys are in shape, and the fact that are they knowing the playbook? Do they have the playbook down in pat in their head? And if they don't, then back to the drawing board a little bit.
Yeah, I get let's see here. Our question today is how many fans are in your room when you go to bed at night? Dave says, I've got two, a ceiling fan and one fan that rotates around the room. There you go. I like that. Jeremy and Clarksville says, one ceiling fan on high. I only keep the AC at 75, so I need a fan. I'm the same way, Jeremy. I don't mind because with the fans that are just blowing in the room and on me, I'm fine. Those are good. I don't mind that right there. You don't want any, like one blowing straight on your face?
I don't mind it. See, the doctors, when you go for your yearly checkup and they check your nostrils, they say, oh, my goodness, your nose is really dry. What's that about? And the guy asked me if I sleep with a fan. I'm like, I do. They go, does it blow directly at your face? I'm like, I have done that from time to time. And they go, you're probably not healthy. I want to make sure your nostrils are, I guess, hydrated or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But that's beyond me.
Yeah, I got that. All right, Jacob from Murfreesboro. I love this. The Vandy bias on your station is objectively hilarious. This is the same NCAA that allowed Charles, did he say the name? Bediako.
There you go.
To play after the preliminary injunction was whatever. It stopped after that. I don't get Vandy by it. We love Clarkley. We love Vanderbilt. You break a rule, you break a rule.
Is he saying we're too pro-Vandy? Is that what I'm getting at?
I think they're saying it's anti-Tennessee, so therefore it's pro-Vandy.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm calling a spade a spade. I mean, it you broke a rule.
And that's it.
Understandably so, he allegedly paid the money back, right?
Yeah.
I get that. But at the same time, you initially broke the rule.
Right.
To me, I can't get on board with that. I just can't.
Right. I don't care if it's Vandy, Mississippi State, LSU. You know the rule.
Yeah.
You know not to accept my – now, if you declare for the draft, it's – am I understanding this right? If you declare for the, you're good.
Yeah, you're good.
But
there's nothing to be associated with that after you declare.
Yeah, if you want to come back.
But he is an active college player.
Right. So, Brando, you got him?
We've got him.
Oh, okay. All right. We're excited about this. We're excited anytime talented people come back to the radio and have a great show. And so what's going to happen next Monday. Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. have a show on ESPN Radio. We're really excited for that. And joining us now is Mike Golic Jr. with more. Mike, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Appreciate the kind intro, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are so – anytime a show comes back that's predominantly in heavy football, man, we love. And the fact you get to work with your father, you got to be over the moon excited for this.
Now, it's awesome. You know, me and Dad have had opportunities away from ESPN to work together. When we left, I had gotten to be the third chair on Golic and Wingo with him and Trey, but that was their show. That was the culmination of decades of great work in sports talk from those two guys. I was along for the ride. So to come back now and have this be, you know, the Golics, like it says it all there. We want people to be part of our family for 2 hours a day is, you know, one of the coolest things I could ever ask for.
I love it. What's a pre-show meeting like with your father?
Well, usually the hardest part is just getting him logged in if we're like apart from each other. This is the thing, and I feel like people can appreciate this. Like, we got a lot of nice notes when Dad finished up Golic and Wingo about so many mothers and fathers who work with their kids or kids who work with their parents saw themselves in our relationships. There's the good and the bad in that, and part of that is if you're my age and you got a parent who's in their 60s going into his 70s, not obsessed with technology, so I wind up wearing my IT hat like 90% of the time. So getting him dialed in is an act of God, and then from there, convincing them that he's not right about everything is my next lot in life. So it's a great time, though. I mean, I always said this is what we did on our couch for, you know, going on 37 years now growing up. We're sitting there, we're watching sports. He's got one opinion based off, you know, his old school mentality, everything that he's learned. I was in locker rooms a little bit more recently. I try and offer some different perspective when I can, and it's a good time.
I love it. The show is called The Golics, a new morning show from 9 to 11 Central in our area with Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr. What's, you know, when you talk about a show, what do you want this show to be, Mike?
I want it to be a good time, like at a base level. Like I said, like, I consider this people coming to watch a game with us on our couch for 2 hours a day. I consider this us bellying up to the bar, and we all get to take this in together, right? Whether it's, you know, sports being a vessel to tell the story of people overcoming incredible odds, whether it's incredible X's and O's from some of the great minds we have in these games, whether it's just the excitement of all sitting and watching the same game and getting to ooh and ah and stuff that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. So, you know, there's plenty of shows that are going to do great versions of sports talk debate. You can get that on First Take. Stephen A. Smith and those guys do an outstanding job. And this is certainly no shot at them. That's their style. That's not necessarily ours. So we want you to come over here. Always feel like you're a part of this conversation. Always feel like you're a part of the family for this thing that we all love together.
Mike Golic Jr. is on the line with this here. Mike, when it comes to college football, obviously you're very familiar with that, you know, doing play-by-play as of recent. Obviously, you've gone viral with the Duke's Mayo, deep-fried Oreo in the mayo. I thought that was pretty funny. But overall, your temperature on college football as a whole right now, what are your thoughts?
It's gearing up for a season that I think could be one of the most entertaining in my lifetime. For all the talk about the changes in the sport, we're still right now going to get another year of that 12-team playoff, so God forbid it's actually stayed consistent one year to the next. And we're seeing now, I think, the benefits of money coming into college sports because you've got so many teams that were able to bring back so many familiar parts of their roster, especially at quarterback, this position where people want to feel like we've got an answer there. And so whether you're Notre Dame, whether you're Georgia, whether you're Texas, whether you're Oregon, on and on down the list, there are so many teams that loaded back up because now guys who might have had a decision, am I going to leave for the NFL and go in the third to seventh round because I got to make money now and start feeding my family and taking care of the people in my life, I can get that money staying in college now. And so you combine that with the lack of a spring transfer portal, and I think we have quelled some of the volatility in the offseason that really like nerved people out for a while and set this up for a season that has a chance to be an absolute week-after-week shootout.
Yeah, as a team you're very familiar with, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish up there in South Bend, only, what, five or six total transfers on the entire roster, maybe seven or eight. It's fascinating to see because you mentioned everybody's coming back for the most part. It seems like Notre Dame's really ramping up for a true national championship run this year.
They are, and you know, their roster attrition has always been a strong point in the Marcus Freeman era so far where they don't lose a lot of guys to the portal. You go back to their 2024 college football playoff run, and I think they were the only team in the playoff to not lose anyone to the portal during that overlapping time period. But then you return, you know, 80 of your top 10, 90 of your top 10 tacklers on defense. You bring back a quarterback that's a legit Heisman Trophy candidate going into the season. You do portal in some wide receivers and take some undergrad transfers, which Notre Dame doesn't usually do. And you can see them pushing all the chips to the table. And then on top of that all, you throw in the schedule where now your high leverage games are late October, early November, and not weeks one and two. So you got time. You guys know this. You're never the team you're going to be come the end of the season, the first team come out of the gate. Every year is so different. The roster turnover, even if you're a team like Notre Dame that's fortunate to have continuity, it's always different. And so they've got a schedule that allows them that chance to grow into being a great team come November.
Yeah, I kind of know the answer to the next one I'm about to ask you, but when it comes to the, you know, jersey patches in college football, even Notre Dame not being in a conference and just acquiring all the money from the college football playoff in general, I assume that is the big topic of conversation for Notre Dame to acquire all these players back to return.
Oh, yeah. It was something that, you know, Notre Dame had always been about tradition, doing things their way. The independence, to your point, had been a big part of that. But for a long time, it was good enough to just be Notre Dame. The saying was the dome recruited itself. And then modern college football happened. And so, you know, they just opened up a new facility on campus, the Shields Family Hall, that replaced the football facility that I was in during my 5 years on campus. they did announce the jersey patch like Ohio State did earlier that day, because you got to be willing to spend in order to, you know, keep these high-end rosters together. And I wasn't sure Notre Dame was going to go and dive fully into the deep end of paying players the way that they appear to be now. Who knows if they'll ever be the highest paid roster in college football, but the fact that they appear right within the shouting distance of teams like Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, the ones that we knew were going to do this at a high level, I think is really encouraging for the future.
We're talking to Mike Golic Jr. here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Mike, you played with one of our favorites here, in who's from Nashville, at Golden Tate, when you were at Notre Dame. How amazing was it to watch that dude at Notre Dame?
You know, I was just having that conversation. I do a Notre Dame podcast with my friend Jess Matana called The Echoes, and we were, you know, just doing the usual naming dudes where you go back and you're looking at old rosters and guys that played. And Golden Tate, I was fortunate. So I was on the team with Golden Tate and Michael Floyd, who are 1-2 in Notre Dame history in career receiving yards. I think, you know, pound for pound, probably two of the best, if not the two best, to ever play there. And the difference was Golden played backyard football on every play at the highest level of college football. Like, you never knew what he was going to do, what he was going to see out there, the cutbacks, fully reversing field. He was a true showman and entertainer in the way he went about doing that, despite being a guy that, you know, maybe wasn't the biggest, certainly had some speed, but always found a way to go and make a play when the team needed it the most. It was crazy to watch.
Oh, I love that from him. A few more with you here, Mike. We were talking to you. Look, you're not in the bubble of Nashville, Tennessee, but when you think of the Tennessee Titans right now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Cam Ward. I mean, I think there's legitimate reason to hope that they have finally hit on the guy once again at quarterback in Tennessee. And, you know, you see a lot of the intangibles. I've seen the volley of videos coming back of him holding the team accountable even after wins last year, the confidence that he came in with as a rookie to get out in front and try and be a leader of a team in a franchise that were really working hard to do that. I look at him as one of those guys that has that potential with the talent that we've already seen displayed by him to be a franchise guy. And so you combine him now, you know, with Rob Saleh and get him over there, have Brian Daboll on offense, who's such a proven developer at that position. That's kind of the first thing I think of, is having a quarterback that I think there's legit reason and hope around that you want to see this new staff do right by.
Mike, let me ask you this too, because we love Robert Saleh, because it's a whole different vibe as it was from last year from Brian Callahan. What is it about athletes, and you played at the high level, that love to be coached so hard that it just drives you crazy? And we think that Robert Saleh is going to do that to Jeffrey Simmons and a bunch of guys on that team. What's the advantage when a coach is just on your ass all the time?
Yeah, it doesn't allow you to exhale and let up. You know, for the true competitors, you're always looking for that way to get better, because everyone in that league especially understands you're always this close to being replaced. There's going to be better, faster, stronger, younger coming up the pipeline. And so you want to try and continue to find that edge. And it's, for some guys, easy to do that intrinsically and to have that come from within you at all times. But for other guys who have been around, done this a long time, been great in their own right for so long, sometimes you can exhale a little bit. And if you've got a coach that's going to hold every guy at every end of that roster accountable, it sets that standard for everyone else where it's, all right, this is the only way we approach our work. And so when you see that coach also back that up with how they work, and you know that coach is doing everything in their power and is motivated by trying to make you the best that you are, if you don't respond to that, you're in the wrong business, because that
right.
could be how you're wired going into this.
Absolutely. Mike Golic Jr. is on the line with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. On the same sentiment there, Mike, for the Titans, defensive side of the ball, Jeffrey Simmons, it's been reported this morning that, you know, he lost about 10 more pounds and looks very lean and fit. You acquire more players through Robert Saleh, Jordan Elliott, Solomon Thomas, John Franklin Myers, go to the draft and get Keldrick Falk and Jackie Marshall. That interior defensive line in that front is pretty solid. My biggest concern is the back end of the defense, which is the secondary, and obviously getting two top-end cornerbacks, Cordarrelle Flott and Alante Taylor. My biggest worry is if there's not enough pressure to the quarterback, should Titans fans be concerned on that back end of the defense?
I think so. I mean, I think you've seen some good stuff from Alante Taylor, and is a guy that could be excited about. But I also think that, to your point, the way they've structured that front seven and what we know Robert Saleh's teams in the past and defense he's been a part of have been capable of doing and applying pressure to the quarterback, I think you've got enough guys that you feel comfortable. You know, getting Jermaine Johnson over there as a guy that he knew from New York and understands what he's about, to me was a signal of, all right, this is how we're going to build this thing. And so I think it's a great room for a guy like Keldrick Fault to come in and learn from. All the talent that you saw from him last year in college football, the length, the tools, to now be in a room with some really good veterans like that, I think gives them a chance to apply the kind of pressure that does make it a bit easier for that secondary while they go through that change to try and see if they've got the guys there or not.
And on a broader scale of the NFL, two names that come to mind because it looks like their career is coming to somewhat of an end, and that's Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. How do you see the Steelers faring with the rest of the AFC? And then for the NFC, how do you see the Rams kind of going for another Super Bowl push?
Yeah, boy, it's, you know, you're looking for very few reasons why the Rams won't be there late in the season. And, you know, a lot of people point to offensive line depth as maybe the only place that you can look because they spent in the secondary in the ways that they needed to after last year that undid them in the postseason. They brought in the best edge rusher in the NFL and arguably one of the best in NFL history in Myles Garrett to go along with a defense that's got Kobe Turner and these guys in the inside. Could get Aaron Donald for the late season push in the postseason. And then offensively, Stafford and that offensive line, while maybe not deep, are a part of a group that can bruise you up front. He can make every throw in the book. So I think they're going to be right there to the end. Pittsburgh and Rodgers is going to be interesting. Like, that's a defense that's a little bit longer in the tooth, especially in the front seven. And Rodgers himself still has a special arm to make things happen. But if there's any kind of pressure, he's just not the guy that he was before in terms of his ability to process that, get away from it, and still make the kind of plays that we were used to there. You know, combine that with seeing how him and Mike McCarthy once again mesh together at the helm of a team the way that they did for so long in Green Bay. And I have less confidence just because of the division there. Like, I still think Baltimore, even with the coaching change, I think the Bengals with the changes they made defensively to go along with a healthy Joe Burrow are going to be too much for that team. But it's a floor that we've seen has been pretty high for a while. And even with Mike Tomlin gone, I think Mike McCarthy has what it takes to keep that floor in a similar place.
God, I just loved it. I could talk to you for 9 hours, Mike, about football and what's going on. Before we let you go, Mike, real quick, Jeff Fisher is a good friend of ours. He comes on the show all the time. And I was talking one day to Jeff about the 85 Bears, and he said, let me tell you something. The 87 Philadelphia Eagles might have had the best defense that nobody ever talks about. Your father was a part of that 87 Eagles team with Reggie Wright, Jerome Brown, Seth Joyner, Clyde Simmons. I mean, I know you weren't born yet, but still, your co-host was part of what Jeff Fisher thinks is one of the greatest underrated defenses of all time. So tell your dad that when you see him next, that Jeff Fisher says hi, and that team was pretty badass.
You know what? He'll be flattered to hear that. But, you know, anytime this comes up, because I always tell my dad, like, you have a claim to some of the defenses that might have actually been the best of all time statistically by different measures. He always points out, we didn't win the ultimate prize. This is a team game. It's about winning trophies. And we didn't do that, so he never feels comfortable accepting that mantle. But I will pass that along because I know he loves and respects the heck out of Jeff and will be happy to hear from him.
Oh, that's great. Mike, congratulations on the show, the Golics. 9 to 11, we do Central Time here in Nashville. It premieres next week. Man, we're so excited for you and your dad. This is great. Can't wait to talk to you again, Mike. Thanks for your time today, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.